for people who don't know the story, basically the Hartford Courant and the New York Times both revealed today. And by the way, that means something. I mean, I was looking at the Courant, and then I pick up the Times, and they've got the same story. Now, well, how, and these are what we used to call, or what they still call in the newspaper business, enterprise stories, which is, I mean, you know, it's just not somebody, you know, runs over somebody else. I mean, you got to go find this stuff out. And it takes a few days, obviously, or maybe more. What this means, the fact that this story is in two newspapers on the same day, means that it's leaked from the feds, and the feds gave them a date when they could run it. It further evidence that the federal prosecution team is leaking, which we knew all along, but not only they're leaking, they're leaking it in a very sort of structured and artful way. Like, for some reason or other, they want this story to run today. That's the only way that I think this story gets in two papers at the same time. I haven't even tried to check out whether that's true or not. I mean, I could call people at the Courant and they tell me to go jump in a lake, but...
What about the other, the J.I.? Other papers.
Well, they just didn't have that story. I mean, the feds leak certain things to certain...
Okay.
I mean, everybody works their sources differently and stuff. I mean, they're not going to leak at the 18 papers all at once. But anyway, what the story basically says is that John Rowland, I believe in 1989, toward the end of his congressional career, bought a condo in Washington, D.C. He then sold it in 1997. Other units in the building were selling for as little as $20,000, maybe $30,000. There was a unit in the building that sold for, I think, in the 50s, but I don't think it was a lot nicer than his, but a comparable unit in the building anyway. It was selling in the 20s, 30s. He sold it for $68,500 to a antiques dealer in Western Connecticut, a Woodbury antiques dealer named Wayne Pratt, who's a friend of his, but more significantly, a business partner.
I believe he's a participant in the Antiques Roadshow, too.
Yeah, he actually is. He's a guest appraiser. But he's linked to Robert Matthews. Robert Matthews has been involved in a number of the deals that have that John Rowland has been involved in that have raised eyebrows. He's one of the vacation home guys, perhaps more significantly, he was involved in this. This is long ago and perhaps forgotten, but a case where he got Rowland to make some kind of call. They were trying to get a company called Pinnacle to come to this market. Matthews was involved in this, and. This is the one with Arthur Dietrich, who coincidentally is the guy who arranged for Rowland to be able to buy the house at Bantam Lake. I know this gets to be like water. I mean, I sort of feel like a Mel Gibson conspiracy theory or something. I mean, you just know all this stuff. It's ultimately kind of a little boring. But anyway, they got the wife of Arthur Dietrich and some guy who was like in the security detail for Rowland, state cops. Wound up buying stock in Pinnacle and making some money, and the whole thing looked a little fishy. I don't think anybody's ever proved anything about that. But once again, this thing, as one of our other staff people here was saying, it's also kind of interesting that while Rowland owned it, one of their daughters, I think it's Matthews' daughter, was renting it for $1,000 to $1,100 or $1,100 a month, which perhaps seems a lot, like a lot for a condo that's worth that little. Although, as I said in the conversation I just had with one of our staffers here about this, you pretty much have to throw everything out the window when you're talking about Washington real estate. I mean, I would, if Rowland weren't already on fire, I wouldn't even pay any attention to a story like this. Well, this one, because you'll never be able to prove anything about Washington using Washington real estate, because it's an insane market. I mean,
you know what though?
What?
I think the reason it's worth so much more, we've forgotten something. When you have friends that can fix things up.
Mm-hmm. True.
Maybe they had a big party over there, and they all brought in, you know, they did some wallpapering, and...
Maybe this guy bought...
Maybe put some rugs and stuff, and the next thing you know, it's worth 68.
Yeah.
Could easy.
Be.
37?
Well, no, how could it ever be worth $1,100 a month as a rental property? You just don't know in Washington, though. I mean, I would hesitate to use this story to prove anything about Rowland. It's another log on the fire, but really, it's one of the least interesting logs on the fire. And as I say, you know... I could go out and find 10 people who had crazier stories to tell about sending condos, selling condos without working too hard. But it doesn't matter because he's so completely screwed. Now, meanwhile, he met today with the Craven legislative leaders. And
Who would those be?
Moira Lyons and Jim Amon and Kevin Sullivan and Zeppo Marks, I think. I don't know who else, you know. I mean, it just doesn't matter. They're just so awful.
So I'm sure they laid the lumber to him, right?
Well, I think going in there and slapping Rowland around is something that, you know, I mean, at this point, the Boy Scout troops who get a tour of, the mansion, you know, go in there and scream at Roland and tell him he's scum and stuff. I mean, everybody gets to do that now, apparently.
And they have merit badges for it, too. That's what's good.
This is, actually, I have heard this. I've heard that from a pretty good source that, you know, as these Republican meetings go on, you know, the first one, not too bad, second one, but, you know, as each new little delegation of Republican legislators and political operatives and whoever else they're bringing in there go on, everybody does feel a little bit more free to just, you know, talk smack to Governor Roland, which beforehand, nobody ever talked smack to Governor Roland, because the first thing you do is you throw an ashtray at your head, and the next thing you do is you yank the bonding money out of your town and turn it into a third world country, and then he'd veto every bill you proposed for the rest of your political career. So nobody ever talked smack to this guy because he was vengeful and petty and angry. But now he's weak. And like everybody wants to kick sand in his face. And I was told by a pretty good source over the last couple of days, a Republican source, that Jody apparently dressed him down at one of these gatherings in front of people, and that that also another legislator looked at it, said to him, "I want you to look at me in the eye and tell me there's nothing else coming out. I want to know that you paid for every effing blender you own." I like that. A blender is always a funny thing to mention. But but so everybody feels like they could do this, and I'm sure now that he's lying in the sand bleeding to death, that Moira Lyons and Jim Amon and Kevin Sullivan and Zeppo Marx and Marty Looney and whoever else was in there today, I'm sure they all just worked up their courage and, you know, pinched him or something, you know. But, I mean, really, at this point, this is not any kind of... But then, you know, they come out and they really just make me want to throw up. You know, they're very deferential towards one another. And they, at one point, Moira says she has to consult with the caucus about this. Well, this would be like the first time she's ever wanted to consult with her own caucus about anything. I mean, all these people have done for their entire careers as legislative leadership is ram stuff down the throats of their caucus. They never tell their caucuses anything. They make all their deals in the back room, usually with Roland, I might add, you know, and then come to tell the caucuses, all right, this is the play on 7, hike. So the idea that she's interested in what the caucus thinks now is probably an indication she doesn't want to do the heavy lifting. She doesn't want to be the one who gets this puppy walking. And Kevin is talking about how, oh, well, she's got a hard job, and I certainly do sympathize with her, and you know, got a lot of respect for her. Oh, bite me.
You don't have any idea how difficult it is for me to do this program, because every time I laugh, it gets this cough thing going again.
I'm sorry about that.
So...
these are very serious times. So
well, they're not very serious times. I mean, they are serious, but...
So anyway, my understanding is Governor Roland told him, well, no way am I leaving. You better not try to impeach me.
He said that?
Well, he didn't say you better not try to impeach me. He said, no way am I leaving, and then he said he didn't think impeachment would be good.
Well, of course he doesn't think impeachment would be good. It's like they needed to go in there to find that out?
He said, I believe that he said that it wouldn't be good, first of all, for him. And then he said,
for starters,
it would suck all the air out of the building. At which point somebody would have said, and then you'll die. So that'll be good.
good.
But, of course, they don't think that way. They don't say those kinds of things. But, I don't know. I hope they impeach him. I hope it takes them 2 years to impeach him. I mean, really... if I were a Republican, I would be so angry at him right now because, in fact, the longer he drags this stuff out, the longer, I mean, if Jody got in there and had 2.5 years to be gubernatorial, I mean, she would be a little bit tougher to beat. I think, first of all, we shouldn't assume that Jody wants to run for governor in 2006. I mean, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I mean, I haven't heard her really say that. And I don't know whether it's true or not. And if she doesn't, then that would raise an interesting question. Who is going to run? And Iskovich? Psycho boy? I don't think so. I mean, I think that he would want to run for governor, but I mean, I don't think he has a chance because A, he's psycho boy. But second of all, no, I mean, his wife has this incredibly compromising job where, I mean, it basically does look like, you know, they've been bought off with this political plum, whereas Ray Dunaway was saying, you know, she's like head of arts and tourism and agriculture and outer space exploration. And scant evidence that she's qualified for any of this. I think she hooked a rug one time or something.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, and meanwhile, he comes on, you know, he used to come on the Roy and Debbie show and talk about the cycle of dependency and all this kind of stuff, and how, you know, everybody's too dependent on government money. Well, this is before I knew that his main job, as far as I understand, he runs this kind of drug rehab kind of place or some kind of, you know, thing like that, where they get tons of government money. That's what he does. He lives off government. He's on the cycle of dependency. So I don't get that. I don't get how he's allowed to go on talk shows and criticize a culture of dependency, I think was the term that he used, or something like that. That was, I mean, it was all about the idea that, you know, everybody was too dependent on various handouts from the government. Well, apparently, he makes at least part of his living from handouts from the government.
Connecticut Today.
I have a question.
Yeah?
When you get dragged in for all, some of the stuff you say, would I have to go too?
What do you mean, dragged in? Oh, well, you mean like if we get sued or something like that?
We get sued?
Okay, so if I get sued. No, I would be willing to say that you knew nothing about this and that you had no advance warning that I was going to say legally actionable things.
Nice little rant, though.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Well, I have other things to say about this.
See, that's the problem. I like it, so maybe I could be.
That's right. You're an enabler.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You're still
boarding
my activities. We'd like to welcome our cousins from Channel 8 here, Tom and Aaron, who are in here. We don't really know what they're doing, nor do they know how to plug in.
Crawling around on the floor, it looks like to me.
And basically what's going to happen is Tom is going to take pictures of the needles that move back and forth.
Yeah.
Because they have no B-roll back in New Haven. And then they'll leave, probably.
I think actually we could jack this thing up so all these meters would go.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they don't seem to know how to. And there's no engineer around here who can help them. Because our engineers are lazy sociopaths. Oh, do you actually, you got plugged in. Way to go, Tom. Anyway, we're going to continue this conversation a little bit about the governor's problems. As I said, I think the condo story is, it's just another log on the fire. And it doesn't, if there weren't a fire going, if John Rowland weren't in the middle of the most, you know, blazing case of self-immolation I've ever seen in my life, nobody would care about this story. Because you can't prove anything for the Washington real estate market because it's insane. But, you know, there are other things going on here and ways in which this is compromising a whole bunch of other people. I think the most interesting person in all of this right now, and I know that I've referred to him in the past as sort of a psycho killer spy and stuff like that, is Rob Simmons. I think he's in the most interesting position. First of all, he's been hung up on more than once, I've been told, by Rowland. I think he's called Rowland more than once and been hung up on. I wouldn't be hanging up on
a U.S. congressman?
Hanging up on somebody who knows how to kill people. Everybody's a U.S. congressman.
Oh, that's true, too.
Hang up on Chris Shays, you know, that's fine. Hang up on Nancy Johnson. What's she going to do, jump on your back and bite you? But, you know, Rob Simmons knows how to have you whacked. Rob Simmons can take you out. I wouldn't be hanging up on Rob. But more importantly, Rob Simmons... Think about Tom DeLay for a second. Tom DeLay is sitting down there. He's thinking Dean is going to be the nominee. That gives him an opportunity to pick off some seats, he thinks anyway, because Dean won't carry certain kinds of states and stuff. So he doesn't want to lose states while he's trying to gain states. Well, Simmons is, I mean, if you remember, you know, Tom DeLay had the empty hell of every demon he had at his disposal to get Simmons elected last time. You know, the Republican National Committee really broke the bank making sure that Simmons got reelected. And running a negative campaign against Joe Courtney, which is, you know, I was trying to run a negative campaign against Gandhi, but they did it somehow. And so here's Rob, and his seat is normally imperiled. I mean, it's just a tough place for a Republican to get elected. It's a Dodd year next year. Dodd will be running. Dodd takes like 70% of that district ordinarily. So he's got to run under those circumstances. And, I mean, if he has to run with Rowland trouble sticking to him, too, it may be too late to get rid of the Rowland problem. But, I mean, you know, Tom DeLay may send ninjas up here to kill Rowland just so that Simmons doesn't have to run under those circumstances. I mean, he doesn't want to have any more problems than he already has.
And who would Simmons be running against?
Well, that's the thing. He's running against a toaster at this point. I mean, I don't mean your big chance. I should run. There's no question that I should run.
I told you before, you need to get in.
Sean McNally is not going to win this election. And
yeah, forget that.
Jim Sullivan or whoever. Nobody even knows who these people are.
You're the man.
I met Sean McNally, and I still don't know who he is.
Is that the guy that does the maps?
I don't, yeah, it could be. Yeah, he gave me a globe, actually, while I was there.
Well,
he's going to hand out globes as part of his campaign. But, no, if they had somebody really tough running in that district, now I think...
You!
Well, I don't live in that district.
Well, you could move.
I know, I don't even have to move. You can actually just run. But then I'd have to serve in Congress, which I would resent. But they, you know, Wyman, I believe Wyman lives in that district. She would be a possibility. Bicewicz used to, but I think she lives in Middletown. She might have been redistricted out of there.
I have the answer.
Who's that?
Curry.
Well, Curry, they might have Curry. Curry should run against Johnson. Do we have a minute here?
Got it.
You know, that's a tough district for Johnson. I mean, she usually wins, and she ran against a Wookiee last time. It was relatively easy to win, but that's a tough district for her when she has to defend somebody who's especially odious. In 1996, she had her toughest election, and that was right after she'd been defending Gingrich. Well, if she has to run around defending Roland, you know, that could be a tough district for her to win in, too. And Curry has more recognition there. You know, in the second district, they should probably get the banjo player from Deliverance, who would really kind of resonate with a lot of the people who vote out there. But
this is good. 2 days in a row. Trailers yesterday, now there's people from Deliverance.
You got a pretty mouth.
Yeah.
Vote for me. It's that kind of thing. But Curry could run in the fifth. I don't think he will, personally. Pudlin is another person who could run in that district. And he would win New Britain anyway. We are going to open the phone lines right now to talk about how you're feeling about the latest disclosures about Governor Roland. Not because we're really interested in your comments, but because Channel 8 is here to film it. And, and we're media hosts, basically. So our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. Call up and talk a little bit about John Roland or guess Keith Kuntz's height. That's the other thing
we're
going to do here.
Knock it off, really. I made the statement one day
that, he's
that
diminutive.
I thought
he said was diminutive.
I said he was smaller than I thought
you
he was.
You used the term diminutive. Yes or no?
I did use the word diminutive. Right.
Okay, Your Honor, I rest my case.
But I didn't mean
Your
it
Your Honor,
way.
I'd like to have this man classified as a hostile witness.
Well, it's going to become that very shortly. It's going to be reasonably obvious to the entire court.
Yeah. Anyway, Arno Farr is the fine reporter for the American Record Journal, Paul Hughes, who noted that, you know, there's only ever been one impeachment one invocation of the impeachment rule in the state constitution, and that it involved a probate judge named Kinsella, and Governor Roland was at that time a state representative, and he voted in favor of impeachment. And what's interesting about that was that, according to Paul Hughes' article today, and I think he's absolutely correct, there was no real allegation of true illegality in that case. It was but Governor Roland at that time, as a young state legislator anyway, didn't really feel that that was necessary in order to vote for impeachment. All right. Never mind.
Well, he also was rather outspoken about the Ganem thing, too.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Ganem couldn't run the city effectively. He should get out.
He hasn't been afraid to draw the line in the sand. When he sees something that's wrong, he hasn't been afraid to speak his mind about it.
Wow. Up to this point.
What is he going to accomplish by looking him in the eyes and asking him that question?
Well, I mean, first of all, not a sincerely meant statement on her part anyway. I mean, these guys are a bunch of chicken wussy hacks who have never had the guts to stand up to Roland in their lives.
Clearly.
There's no reason they're not going to stand up to him now. It sort of is true. I mean, at this point, it's like saying, well, I really need to talk to Ted Bundy about why he killed all these people, and then maybe I might be prepared to. I mean, you know, who cares why?
Yeah, exactly. You either broke the law or you didn't.
Right.
No, okay.
I'm with
Hi,
you.
Guys.
I'm
Thanks.
With you. All right. Oh, are you still on the line, Susan? No, she's gone.
Yeah. She left. Okay. Roland needs Pete Rose.
But
it's always the first time.
It's always the first time. But it was critical to me at this point that people don't drag God into their problems anymore. Like when Roland was talking about God, I was just convinced God was sitting up there in heaven going, do you have to bring my name up? You can't leave me out of this. I didn't do any work on your cottage. You want to see me do some work on your cottage?
Yeah,
I got lightning bolts up here, all right, buddy? I'll do some work on your cottage.
Dave in New Haven. Hi, Dave.
And Colin shall return.
We just saw Joe Lieberman on television. He looks so totally relaunched. It's kind of uncanny how relaunched he is.
So, in other words, the first part of this campaign just basically sucked?
Well,
is that it? Because, I mean, why would you have to relaunch?
Well, because this is a new phase of the campaign.
Oh,
where
a
he's
phase
not, yeah, it's
of
a new
the
phase
campaign.
Of the campaign where he's not going to get his ass kicked.
Oh.
Yeah.
Attention communications and
good people. You just can't elect the corrupt. I mean, it's all about judge of character and learning to elect the right people and know people like Bill Curry. He may have been short on personality, but geez, he knew what he was doing. And where's he now? Sitting
short on personality? Knew what he was doing?
We'd like to dispute both of those statements, young fellow. I would agree with most of what you just said, although I just would like to point out that the PTA and the Lions Club are rife with corruption, and they're controlled by extraterrestrials and the mafia.
But there are still good people that work with them, and if enough good people are in any organization, you can keep the corruption at bay. Unfortunately, too many people in this state don't even bother to vote.
You sound pretty good. Why don't you run for something? You sound like you've got a...
I work in the insurance industry because, you know, there's no corruption there at all.
Absolutely. I like this kid. All right, thanks for calling, Jamie.
Okay, next we go to Michael in a car. Michael.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Collins, good to hear your voice.
No, I wouldn't say that. You don't mean it. You don't mean it.
No, well, okay.
All right.
I wanted to thank you for defending my good friend Andy Fleischman, but I also wanted to say, you know, as an incumbent, it's not going
to
be just the Republicans that...
We probably should go, but I think we have another minute.
Okay.
So here's Tess in Glastonbury. Hi.
Hi, Tess.
Hi there. I've talked to you before about sometimes why the state of Connecticut is perceived by other states in the union as being unfriendly or inhospitable,
yeah,
or what is it about the environment of growing up in this state or being in this state? And I think that it reaches right out into your political mechanism, where you don't have a lot of bonding of individuals in this state, a lot of friendliness and a lot of activities where people join together and really have a heartfelt driven attitude. And even the political campaigns seem to be met with such apathy. There's just an apathetic existence here that I've lived in 9 other states, and I haven't seen that kind of apathy really permeate the day-to-day existence, the political organizations, which I've tried to get a little bit involved with since I moved here, and it's just so blasé.
Oh, man, I'm going to blow my brains out at the end of this thing. Can I come over for dinner tonight?
Sure, I'm having homemade beef stew.
I knew you'd say yes.
I've been sautéing it all day.
I bet you have. Thanks for calling, Tess. Impressive about that, I have to say, on behalf of the Irish, is that there are not too many singers who could just jump in there in between Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and not sound too bad. Bono, you know,
right?
He holds his own.
Of course, while all of that was going on, I had to listen to like 60. There, you know, there are air traffic controllers in this country. They give out fewer orders than Bobby Sherwood.
Bobby's just bossing you around.
I mean, I believe. Do the number for this. Do the number that. Do this one. Do this. Do get this number out.
I missed all that because I was dancing.
Yeah, I know you were.
I was dancing.
All right, so here's the comment line number.
Okay.
First of all, we got some good comments yesterday, by the way.
This comment line is for
I'm
people...
an idiot, you're a loser, that kind of thing. All right, it's, what is it? 677.
We're such losers that I have no idea
what
it is. 677, 6700, extension 400. This is for people who have things that they want to say that they are too chicken wussy to say on the air. Who knows why? Because they have things they want to say.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Of course, we're going to take these things and put them in a promo, probably.
Has anyone sexually propositioned either one of us on the comment line?
No.
No.
Well, I think it was close, actually, once.
Borderline?
Okay. Yeah.
Probably borderline or who's going to proposition us, actually, as I think about it. But
some real gems on that phone yesterday, let me tell you. And the other thing is, apparently we're giving away, I'm going to be at the boat show.
Oh, man.
On the 18th.
That's the best.
From 11 to 1.
All right.
And I just noticed here, we're giving away a...
Where's the boat show?
Connecticut Expo Center.
Okay. So people can go and see you and talk to you and touch you?
Yeah.
Right.
We're giving away 4-pack of passes. We're going to do that sometime today, I guess.
That's the boat show, though. It's the boat show and Bruce Stevens.
Because Chris spelled my name wrong, but that's all right. Anyway, each winner gets a key. This is a familiar ring to it. They could start a 10-foot tracker grizzly. Boat, apparently.
Okay.
With a 25-horsepower Mercury motor and
a... get a little bit more up on boats before...
Trailer, Star Trailer... believe me, I know boats.
Okay, you know
inside
boats.
And out.
All right.
Anyway, it's courtesy of Lewis Marine, the Connecticut Powerboat Show, and WTIC. So,
right
give
on.
That away while
right
I'm there.
On. Well, we've got many other things to talk about as well. I mean, you know, we could talk more about the role and stuff, but it does get a little boring at a certain point, and, I mean, although we enjoy his agony... although I will tell you one last little tip about all this. By the way, we had a lovely visit from our friends at Channel 8, Aaron
Aaron and Tom.
Yeah, they were very nice. We liked them a lot.
Very nice.
I don't know many people at Channel 8, though. I don't know Keith Koontz the way you do.
I don't know Keith Koontz.
I've tried to get to know Ann Nyberg, but we have nothing in common. We just have nothing in common. You know how you just have nothing in common with some people? And
yeah.
There's Mark Davis, with whom we have lots in common, but I don't think he likes us anymore.
Well, we certainly took care of that.
We pick on him. But we pick on him with great affection. We pick on him because we know that he has a defective personality. I don't know why we do that, but we do pick on him. I like Jeff Fox. I'm fond of him.
I think Jeff Fox is great.
Who else is at Channel 8? Name somebody else.
Is Noah Finn still there?
I don't know. Was he ever there? Is that where he was?
Was a sports guy.
I thought he was at Channel 30. He wasn't at Channel 30?
I don't think so.
I can't tell anymore. All right. Who else is there? Anna Sava? Is she still there?
I don't know.
How about that other woman who's...
Dr. Mel.
Well, I love Dr. Mel. He's the best, yeah. Give the bums rush at the Hartford Current, too. Remember that? Used to have the little leather thing, and then they had to plug Justin Kiefer in there because of their Tribune company, mega conglomerate stuff.
Dr. Mel gets the drop kick out the door.
Dr. Mel is just booted off. I mean, he has the thing in Northeast Magazine anymore. But and I have nothing against Justin Kiefer, but actually the little thing that he does is not as good as what Dr. Mel did.
How could it be?
Dr. Mel was like a prophet. He was like one of the, he was like an Old Testament prophet about the weather.
Pretty much.
And, you know, Justin Kiefer is just a meat puppet, basically. A nice meat puppet.
I wouldn't say he's a meat puppet. He's got some skills.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was a nice visit with Channel 8. That was good. Some people come in and they make us nervous.
I'd like to see if just some of this stuff gets on the air.
Yeah.
I think Tom's call was particularly good.
That's right.
I hope they use that.
I'm sure they want to use the term Hummer on Channel 8. But you know, it is true that TV crews come in here all the time. Not all the time, but frequently.
Yes,
and
they do.
Sometimes they make us nervous and sometimes we like them. These people were nice and they were easy to deal with.
What point there would be in getting nervous?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's just that the personality, like when that dreadful woman from Channel 30 came in.